strategy was born. By the 2nd century BC, China had already passed through 1,000 years of almost unremitting conflict and had been brutally unified into a vast, powerful, imperially directed entity. Along the way, skilled commanders appeared, and major battles were fought. Campaigns became interminable, and the scale of destruction was immense, consuming both men and the thoughts they had committed to writing. However, among the small number of military writings that survived until unification, there were 6 major ones, including Sun Tzu's famous Art of War. They continued to be studied and transmitted down through the centuries until the remnants were collected and edited in the Sung Dynasty around 1,200 years later. Combined with a Tang Dynasty work, they compose the 7 Military Classics, a compilation that comprised the orthodox foundations for military thought and the basis for the imperial examinations required for martial appointment. In the early 1970s, archaeologists excavating the Han Dynasty tomb of a high-ranking official discovered a large number of immensely valuable texts written on remarkably well-preserved bamboo slips. The military works among them include major portions of several of the 7 military classics, including the Art of War, and extensive fragments of Sun Bin's military methods. Although this last book, by Sun Tzu's descendant, appeared in the bibliographic listings compiled in the Han Dynasty, it had apparently vanished in the Han and had been lost for over 2,000 years. This important find thus increased the total extant military materials from the ancient period to 8 classic works in all, supplemented by a few hundred other writings of various but definitely later dates. Even though tactical studies continue to be written throughout Chinese history, much of the vast military corpus has undoubtedly been lost over the centuries through carelessness, natural disasters, deliberate destruction, and warfare. However, ancient epigraphic materials and such early historical records as the Shou Zhuan also chronicle the exploits of generals and kings. The 25 histories preserves extensive information about men and actions, and Warring States' philosophical works contain discussions of military issues. Thus, resources abound, but only a part of the historical writings, including the complete Shou Zhuan, and essentially 2 of the 7 military classics, Sun Tzu's Art of War, 3 major versions, several minor ones, and the Wu Zhu, which appears as an appendix to Griffith's translation, have been translated and published. Far from having vanished and being forgotten, these ancient Chinese military works have extensively influenced 20th century thought and are experiencing a new vitality in Asia. Not only in the military realm, throughout the century they have been thoroughly studied in Japan and China, do they continue to be discussed, but also in the business and personal spheres, their resurgence is particularly evident. In the 1980s, a management book that revived Sun Tzu's thought and employed the revitalized figures of several ancient martial heroes to instruct companies in the basics of business and marketing became a bestseller in the draconian communist environment of the People's Republic of China and eventually in capitalist Hong Kong as well. Japanese companies have regularly held study groups to seek insights from the Art of War that may be implemented as corporate strategy. Koreans, enduring intense international pressure to revalue their currency, open their markets and submit to trade limitations just when prosperity is attainable, are discovering strategies for international business warfare in these books. In Taiwan, where companies confront a situation similar to Korea's, books applying the thoughts of the ancient strategists to life, business, sports, and the stock market have suddenly surged in popularity, even though modernists have ignored and scorned them for decades. Perhaps more astounding is the penchant of Japanese writers to apply principles and tactics from the 7 military classics to all the complexities of modern society. They use such tactics, for example, for successful human relations, romantic liaisons, and company infighting. In addition to at least one scholarly translation, Several new paperbacks offering simplified renditions and popularized expansions of selected teachings are published annually in Japan. The ubiquitous salaryman may be seen reading them while commuting to work, and there are even comic book editions of The Art of War and novels about Sun Tzu to satisfy those so inclined. Naturally, tactics from the classics also frequently appear in novels, movies, and on television, and their words are quoted in contemporary media throughout Asia. However, in every sphere, Sun Tzu's Art of War predominates, eclipsing all the other military writings combined. The Art of War. Initial estimations. Sun Tzu said, "Warfare is the greatest affair of state, the basis of life and death, the way, Tao, to survival or extinction. It must be thoroughly pondered and analyzed. Therefore, structure it according to the following five factors. Evaluate it comparatively through estimations and seek out its true nature. The first is termed the Tao, the second, heaven, the third, earth, the fourth, generals, and the fifth, the laws for military organization and discipline. The Tao causes the people to be fully in accord with the ruler. Thus, they will die with him, they will live with him, and not fear danger. Heaven encompasses yin and yang, cold and heat, and the constraints of the seasons. Earth encompasses far or near, difficult or easy, expansive or confined, fatal or tenable terrain. The general encompasses wisdom, credibility, benevolence, courage, and strictness. The laws for military organization and discipline encompass organization and regulations, the Tao of command, and the management of logistics. There are no generals who have not heard of these five. Those who understand them will be victorious. Those who do not understand them will not be victorious. Thus, when making a comparative evaluation through estimations, seeking out its true nature, ask, which ruler has the Tao? Which general has greater ability? Who has gained the advantages of heaven and earth? Whose laws and orders are more thoroughly implemented? Whose forces are stronger? Whose officers and troops are better trained? Whose rewards and punishments are clearer? From these I will know victory and defeat. If a general follows my methods for estimation and you employ him, he will certainly be victorious and should be retained. If a general does not follow my methods for estimation and you employ him, he will certainly be defeated, so dismiss him. After estimating the advantages in accord with what you have heard, put it into effect with strategic power, supplemented by field tactics that respond to external factors. As for strategic power, it is controlling the tactical imbalance of power in accord with the gains to be realized. Warfare is the way of deception. Thus, although you are capable, display incapability to them. When committed to employing your forces, feign inactivity. When your objective is nearby, make it appear as if distant. When far away, create the illusion of being nearby. Display profits to entice them. Create disorder in their forces and take them. If they are substantial, prepare for them. If they are strong, avoid them. If they are angry, perturb them. Be deferential to foster their arrogance. If they are rested, force them to exert themselves. If they are united, cause them to be separated. Attack where they are unprepared. Go forth where they will not expect it. These are the ways military strategists are victorious. They cannot be spoken of in advance. Before the engagement, one who determines in the ancestral temple that he will be victorious has found that the majority of factors are in his favor. Before the engagement, one who determines in the ancestral temple that he will not be victorious